This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Continuing with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, you can watch and listen every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rockfin, Rumble, my X/Twitter at Guard Goldsmith, and now on YouTube, as long as they allow us to stay there. Thanks very much, and remember, if you want textual information, check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. I love her sarcasm, so it's all okay.
This that the International Criminal Court could soon issue arrest warrants for top officials, including Benjamin Netanyahu. But that case actually has nothing to do with the ongoing war either, right?
Right. This could come from the ICC as soon as the end of this week. And it's interesting because Netanyahu has said this is absolutely crazy. You cannot, absolutely in any sense or form, come back and label me with this. And Netanyahu feels that he should be protected. Apparently, he's even gone to Joe Biden at the White House to see what he could do to stop that. And let's be clear where we are right now in terms of human rights and potential war crimes. More than 34,000 individuals killed in Gaza since October of last year. More than 13,000 of those human children alone. We've got the allegations that Israel could be carrying out a genocide in Gaza. They're coming from potential top courts and actors from around the world. And we've even now got lawyers in the US, I believe more than 90 of them, who have signed a letter that's due to be sent to the Biden administration. And this includes Secretary of State lawyers who are saying that by the US continuing to arm Israel, it's actually in violation of its own laws. And yet, despite all of this mounting evidence, we're hearing from the White House that they will support Netanyahu until the bitter end.
Wow, that is just something else. Just incredible. And I've got more. There's a really good piece from Judge Andrew Napolitano looking at the U.S. government. And I tell you, it's just amazing to see the spokespeople there constantly saying that it is, but it's not. Oh, yeah, this is not different, but it's actually different. We are going to treat them differently. You know, it's just anybody. It's ridiculous. In fact, let me do this for you. I want to play this one for you while I have the opportunity. I'll play you the Benjamin Netanyahu piece. And I got this one. Yeah, let me put this out here for you and just play it separately, because I think you'll find this pretty darn interesting. It's going to pop up on its own.
Attempting to be patient, but losing his patience. He had the patience of a saint.
All right, so I've just got to do one thing here real quick. Okay, here we go. So this is a reporter who has the patience of a saint. Watch this. This is great. And unfortunately, he's had a bit of enough trying to speak to one of the White House spokespeople.
Attempting to be patient, but losing his patience. He had the patience of a saint, and then, you know, enough is enough with the spokesperson for the State Department. Watch this.
I'm asking you, there's a foreign leader who's saying that American law enforcement, including the National Guard, ought to crack down on Americans exercising their First Amendment right to free speech. I'm asking you, on this particular issue, not on October 7th, not on all this that happened. I'm asking you, do you find this to be appalling by a foreign leader in direct interference in the way Americans conduct themselves?
A leader can call on whatever they'd like, Saeed, but it's no one is naive to the fact that utilization of the National Guard is ultimately a decision up to individual governors.
I understand.
And so beyond that, the Prime Minister is welcome to make whatever comments he'd like.
Yes, no, hold it. Please, I understand the need to combat the despicable anti-Semitism and so on. I understand what the president is doing. I'm asking you, do you reject the fact that a foreign leader is saying that the demonstrations have to be cracked down upon? That's what I'm asking you. Do you reject that?
Sorry.
You reject the U.S. government cracking down on peaceful demonstrators, correct?
Right. Correct? How about that?
You reject that. I mean, this is part of what America is all about. I'm asking you, do you reject the interference of a foreign leader calling for the crackdown on full American citizens exercising their basic rights, their First Amendment right to demonstrate? That's what I'm asking you.
The Prime Minister was commenting on something happening in this country. I will say,
I'm asking you. You are here representing the government, the United States of America. I'm asking you, as an officer of this government, of this administration, do you reject the interference of a foreign leader saying that you must crack down on Americans exercising their right to demonstrate? It's a very simple question.
I wouldn't equate that to interfering, Saeed.
Right.
Now, I've taken a couple of questions on this.
I have a couple more questions, but I have one sure. last comment. Don't you feel offended by the fact that a foreign leader is trying to fan the flame against Palestinian Americans in this country? That's exactly what he's doing. You don't feel offended by that?
Saeed, that is not how I would interpret the Prime Minister's comments, and I defer you to his office to offer any clarification on what he said.
What about State Department just doesn't care, or this young man is incompetent or fearful? I'm not even sure how to get a handle on this, Anya, except it's a disgrace for a government that supposedly exists to preserve human liberty.
You mentioned, or the way you described Saeed's questioning there, I think is right, that he had the patience of a saint, and not only in that video clip, but Saeed has been working at the State Department at least for the last 10 years I've been here in D.C., questioning them on the regular, but especially over these last several months since this war began, I've watched as he sits through these briefings with Matthew Miller and Vedant Patel lying, just blatantly.
Now, I just want to pause here, everybody. If you're only listening in, and not only, but if you're listening in audio at freeworld.fm, Judge Napolitano late yesterday afternoon, spoke with Anya Parampil. It's Parampil. Parampil is her last name. You can follow her on Twitter/X as well. And the individual who was in that council meeting that they're talking about there, he is, as she mentioned, a longtime reporter, and his name is Saeed. The White House spokesperson is Vedant Patel, principal deputy spokesperson for the State Department. But his name is Saeed, S-A-I-D, of course, Arikat, A-R-I-K-A-T, and he works for Al-Quds. So just wanted to give you that heads up there. So we'll go back and continue with Anya Parampil and Judge Napolitano. All right.
As he sits through these briefings with Matthew Miller and Vedant Patel lying, just blatantly lying, and not only that, but defending, for example, Israeli attacks and the destruction of Al-Shifa Hospital and egregious crimes that we've, again, all see played on video. And we can see it on their faces, Vedant and Miller, that they know they're lying. And I always wonder how it would be if a reporter in there kind of broke the third wall and asked something just like, how do you sleep at night? That's the question I would like to ask these government spokespeople. And the way that Saeed questioned Vedant there, really, I felt like he was speaking for me. As a U.S. government official, are you not offended at Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's behavior? Because I was. And Vedant Patel couldn't even say that yes, this is constitutionally protected speech. I'm quite sure even the U.S. government spokespeople have to take the same oath to uphold and protect the U.S. Constitution. I mean, isn't that the basis of serving in our government?
Yes.
People should resign if they cannot speak in defense of the basic principles of our Constitution, and we as the American people should demand that, just as we should demand an investigation into all of the members of Congress receiving APACs, such as Speaker Mike Johnson. I mean, it's just, we've really reached a breaking point, I think, when it comes to our government and this influence, because I think American people are seeing through it unlike ever before. And so the performance and the TV show is getting a little old, Vedant Patel. Everybody can see through it.
Right.
Yeah. And I really appreciated their conversation. It was excellent. And you can go to the Judging Freedom show on YouTube. And so far, I think he's been hit once in a while, but so far he hasn't been really slammed by YouTube. So that's very good. And it brings back the thoughts again of those people breaking into the windows at Columbia and so on. And again, you know, the problem is that so many of those folks must get so frustrated seeing guys like Patel and Miller and Biden and Blinken and all the other politicians like Johnson and so many others who have so much blood on their hands just lie through their teeth in this giant charade, as they would say, as if, you know, the guy's asking questions. We know you're lying, you know, and you can't even say that people have a right to free speech. And one of the only verifiably correct things constitutionally that Patel said was that the control of the National Guard is up to the governors, which, by the way, is something that people like Tom Cotton and people like the Speaker of the House don't seem to grasp, because they both have called for the National Guard to be called in, not by the governors, but by the president. Which is not how it works. There's not even supposed, constitutionally, there's not supposed to be any standing army. There's not supposed to be a thing called the U.S. Army or the National Guard. There can be a U.S. Navy. That's in the Constitution. But the standing army is not supposed to exist. The militia exists. And the militia is, as they said at the time of the revolution, the bulk of the people. That's all people who can carry firearms. All of us. And so even under that paradigm, they're screwed up, because the governors don't control something called the National Guard under any constitutional authority to do so. And then they add to it the idea that the president can then call up the National Guard. The militias are supposed to be under the control, and not under the control, but under the call up of the states if they need them. And then if the states need help and they claim that there is, the legislature or the governor says that there is some danger to their constitutionally Republican form of government, they can ask for assistance from the federal government. And I'll remind you again, Whiskey Rebellion, when George Washington marched with a military force that bigger than the Army of the Potomac into western Pennsylvania to collect those whiskey taxes that were applied by an excise tax. There's nothing in the Constitution that says how the tax is going to be collected. Alexander Hamilton convinced Washington to go under the auspices of a judge who was a friend of Hamilton's, who said that there is an insurrection or a rebellion going on in Pennsylvania. It didn't come from Pennsylvania. It wasn't that judge's place to say that. The people who were engaged in the wrongdoing there were the judge and Washington and Hamilton. So, for example, if you look at science fiction author L. Neil Smith's series of books that starts with The Probability Brooch, and the main character on that, by the way, is a guy named Vaughn, and his last name is Mises, there's an alternate dimension that is much freer, much more anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist. And the hero there is the guy who shot George Washington, the historical hero. Because they were right. They were right. You have no constitutional place to be here. So if we go into Speaker Johnson, he's off base. Tom Cotton is off base. Anybody who says the president should be ordering the National Guard to go in there, even talk show callers, just let them know, you know, you're not right. Let me sort of show you. Now, you know, it's tough sometimes because people get, They feel affronted, they feel offended, you know, when you're trying to give them information, because they feel like, oh, you know so much or whatever. Well, you do. You got information they don't have. And it is valid information. It's inarguable information. It's right there in the Constitution. You just be like, okay, show me the place where it says the president can control the National Guard unless there's a declaration of war. Right? There isn't one. He gets to control after a declaration of war. If there's no declaration of war, it's hands off. Or if he's going to go into a state, by the invitation of the states, then they can call up the National Guard to go into that state. And the states, the governors, can ask other National Guard troops, not National Guard, militia troops, to come over from other states, which is what Abbott and DeSantis agreed to a couple years ago on the immigration thing. So they're at least closer to that historical precedence, you know? Anyway, let me turn to the chat. I guess I see my brother gave me the thumbs up. And just thank you again, everybody. I got to have a and by the way, I don't know if you're watching right now. I'm not even going to look in the room yet. But Jason Barker, thank you so much for being there on the phone today, man. Jason has a great idea for some shows coming up. And I got to text him back yesterday. Sundays and Mondays, I pretty much can't be in contact with people because I'm so busy. And and then today I started getting another one of those headaches. And, you know, I've been having the problems with the exhaustion and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, you're seeing doctors, you're trying to work through it and everything. You get suggestions from people, and it's always a wonderful, heartening thing. And like I said, you know, I wouldn't trade it because like Russell Brand, you get to a place where you realize God exists, you know, and you start looking into the Bible, you realize, oh, this is verified stuff. And so anyway, I won't go into that, but I had a great conversation with Jason, and Jason will probably know, you know, he'll probably acknowledge when I called him up to try to tell him I love this idea and stuff like that, I could barely talk. It was just really, it was a bad one today. And, you know, that's in addition to the sort of general weird exhaustion that I've been having, which seems to be some sort of chronic fatigue stuff because I was exposed to mold and then I got a viral thing and, you know, it kicks off chronic fatigue for some people like Epstein-Barr syndrome. So we'll see, you know, but Jason, thanks, man. I don't know if you're watching. I'll check in on the chats. And I really appreciate it, dude. You're just such a good guy. And folks, you can watch. Go to Knights of the Storm, the Knights of the Storm. Go to Knights of the Storm. Check out their schedule. And you can see it if you just head over to theknightsofthestorm.com and you click on the Friends tab. He's got all the schedule. He's doing all this great stuff. And he's helping out freeworld.fm. So if you hear us on freeworld.fm, please give a tip of the hat and check out Jason's stuff, the Foxhole. Check out Knights of the Storm Saturdays at 10 a.m. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. He's a real solid, solid guy, as are all the people involved with Knights of the Storm. Let's talk about U.S. warfare and some other stories that I have not covered, thanks to the good people at antiwar.com. And don't forget, folks, they're doing their fundraiser at antiwar.com. So if you get the opportunity and you think, you know, some of the stuff that I'm reading here is valuable, please get on over there. Every dollar will be matched. Support antiwar.com today. I've tweeted about this, you know, a few times. And you can see here all the blue stories, the ones I've already read and clicked on just today. You know, like boom, 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 right? And, you know, literally, it's like you got this headache, you're going to fall over, I'm taking bits of caffeine pill and stuff, and I'm like, I got to read this, got to read this, you know? It's crazy. But, you know, you're fighting for freedom, doing stuff that my dad thought was so important that I, you know, I find, you know, such kinship with all of you. So, let's go to, excuse me. We'll just repeat quickly to recap from yesterday, to remind people yesterday, bipartisan bill would create anti-Semitism monitors at college campuses. And don't forget, just like the statute in Florida, if you criticize the state of Israel, that will be considered anti-Semitism. Okay? Now, one of the things I want to mention when we talk about these colleges, and I have to look into this a little bit more, but I bet in the audience you're probably aware of this. I believe on a federal level, they passed a statute that prohibits any business that is dealing with the federal government on any government contract receiving government funds. They cannot engage in criticism of the state of Israel's policies, or they will lose their contract. Now, I don't think these two are going to cross, but interestingly enough, I think sentimentally there is something to be considered here. And that is, universities like Columbia, Harvard, Yale, even, you know, they're supposedly private, they still get massive amounts of money, right? Grants, federal grants, all these things, right? And as I mentioned, people breaking that property and so on, breaking the windows, well, what are you going to do when everybody thinks it's their property? If somebody wants to say, I think that window looks a lot better broken, Well, their taxes went to put the window up. Why can't they go and bring the window down, right? It becomes this absurd argument because the state is unmanageable, because it puts all these people with different ideas about how their money should be spent together. And Columbia is one of the examples. Even though it's a private college and they charge a ton of money, they get a ton of money from the feds. My question is do they have any contracts, not just grants, but contracts from the federal government? Okay? Because these students want divestiture, just like the old time back in the 1980s for divestiture from apartheid South Africa. You know, I ain't going to play Sun City, right? So little Steven running around with Peter Garrett of Midnight Oil, you know, all these different people from different bands and stuff, not going to play Sun City, Bono walking down the street, you know, Lou Reed walking along. So what happens if the interests of these people whose tax money is being used to fund Columbia, if that runs up against, if Columbia is getting any contracts for, say, research or anything like that, and that's a big possibility. They could be working simultaneously with the NIH, USAID, whatever it might be, right? If they've got contracts with the federal government, that means that this federal statute then prohibits them from criticizing policies of the state of Israel, and it will be depicted as anti-Semitic, thanks to people like Chuck Schumer and the rhinos. So this is a much bigger thing than I even considered when these people were talking about divestiture. I was thinking, yeah, their tax money goes, but then I remembered that statute. It's only a couple years old, and it was driven by Schumer. So I'm very curious to find out, because obviously these universities are going to have a ton of pressure from many of their big time pro Zionist investors to say don't divest, but they might also have pressure from the federal government to say, if you divest and you give a reason for the divestiture that is in any way critical of Israel, and they could even depict the divestiture as being critical without words. I mean, we know that they might do that. Clearly, why not? It's another rhetorical weapon. They don't care about the meaning of words. They'll just say that, right? As Missing Persons says, what are words for when nobody listens anymore? I wanted to present that and get your thoughts on that to see if you think that that's a good, you know, if that's a logical syllogism. And it might not be an exact syllogism, but I think it's there's some validity to at least wonder about it. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with BitRefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Update. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs is signing the repeal of a Civil War-era abortion law recently upheld by that state's high court. It means Arizona law will now revert to a ban on abortion after 15 weeks. Governor Hobbs railed against support for the 1864 ban, which she considers to be from a bygone era.
A ban that was passed by 27 men before Arizona was even a state. A time when America was at war over the right to own slaves. A time before women could even vote.
The reconstruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore is estimated to cost nearly $2 billion. Maryland's transportation secretary informed the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post Thursday that replacing the collapsed structure will likely come with a preliminary price tag ranging from $1.7 to $1.9 billion.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
We're back with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Rockfin, Rumble, YouTube, and my ex at Gard Goldsmith. So I just wanted to bring that up again. Bipartisan bill would create anti-Semitism monitors on campuses. Obviously contrary to the First Amendment, it's very clear, and, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. But anti-war also has a couple other big ones, okay? So this one goes back to that rights violations piece that we saw in the RT video. Dave DeCamp put this out yesterday. The State Department said Monday that it determined 5 units of Israel's security forces were responsible for gross human rights violations. And I hope you don't mind me repeating this, because there are a couple points I wanted to bring up in the text version of this from Dave at Antiwar. Against Palestinians in the West Bank, but the finding won't impact U.S. military aid to Israel. Yeah. After a careful process, we found, and that is completely contrary to U.S. policy. And, of course, even giving anything, regardless of where they stand, is contrary to the U.S. Constitution. After a careful process, the State Department spokesman Vidin Patel said, after a careful process, we found 5 Israeli units responsible for individual incidents of gross violations of human rights. All of these were incidents before October 7th. None took place in Gaza. 4 of these units, he said, have effectively remediated these violations. Really? How do you remediate rape and torture? I don't know, which is what we expect partners to do. For a remaining unit, we continue to be in consultations and engagements with the government of Israel. That remaining unit is believed to be Netzah Yehuda, an ultra-Orthodox military battalion responsible for the death of 78-year-old Palestinian American of a 78-year-old Palestinian-American in 2022. That was the one that we mentioned was the one that was cited earlier. Media reports said that the U.S. was expected to blacklist Netzah Yehuda last week, but You got it. After protests from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, you got it. Yes, Anthony Blinken, who is a citizen of Israel, and other officials decided not to offer the sanctions, to apply the sanctions. Secretary of State Blinken told House Speaker Mike Johnson in a letter last week that the U.S. wouldn't be sanctioning any Israeli military units despite the gross human rights violations. And what? Yeah, they're sending them more money. And don't forget, last night we spelled out the hypocrisy of people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez showing up with the Palestinian protesters at Columbia, showing solidarity with them, when just a few weeks ago she voted in favor of the omnibus budget that has $3.8 billion, its annual amount, in it to send more weapons to Israel. She voted against the most recent $16 billion package from last week, but she voted for the one last month. I mean, you know, hypocrisy, thy face is AOC. Right? And then, as I mentioned last night, there's Senator Ed Markey. Ed Markey, in January, put out a public statement about all the gross violations of human rights. And what did he do? Not only did he vote for the budget, the omnibus budget with the $3.8 billion in it, but last week he voted for that $95 billion package for Ukraine, Taiwan, which, of course, can go back over to Ukraine, and Israel. I mean, they just spit in your face and call it rain. It's just incredible. I'm hearing my dad's voice right now. Yeah, amazing. Just incredible. And one more from Antiwar. There's so many. Want to keep things moving along pretty quickly, but I hope you're finding this information good. Again, if you want the links to these things, of course, you can go to antiwar.com. I've got the hyperlinks for most of these stories inside my X feed. And if you're watching the show after the fact and you want to get this information out to people on Rumble and on YouTube, you can pause the video and send it to someone. You can link it to someone at that time code. Okay? So if you think it's okay and you think they can handle my, you know, cadaverous looking visage here, hopefully we're turning those political frowns upside down near the electric fire, then send it over to them. That would be great. I've got something else I want to mention to you about free speech coming up in just a minute. Then we've got this one. Israel undoubtedly committing genocide, says Holocaust scholar Amos Goldberg. This comes from Middle East Eye. Israeli researcher from Hebrew University argues that what is happening in Gaza does not need to resemble the Holocaust to qualify as a genocide. Yes. Won't go into the details on that one. You can find that at antiwar.com. And there's this one. Anthony Blinken. This comes from Kyle Anzalone of the Libertarian Institute, another great institute, with Sheldon Richmond, Scott Horton, James Bovard, Ted Carpenter, excellent, excellent people, so many other people, Lori Calhoun. Kyle wrote this yesterday. You can see the headline if you're only listening in audio here. Blinken says U.S. nearing Saudi-Israel proposal, but calm in Gaza is needed. Really? So that would be the Saudi Arabian government that was put in there by the dying British colonial system, and the State of Israel that was put in there as pretty much the last thing before the British government pulled out of India as its empire waned. Well, Blinken said the White House is finalizing an incentive package to bribe Israel, I love this, and Saudi Arabia to normalize their ties. The Biden administration is seeking to expand the Trump-era Abraham Accords, in which Washington handed out favors to four Muslim nations to develop official ties with Tel Aviv. Now, Kyle's got the handle of this. During a World Economic Forum gathering in Saudi Arabia, Blinken said that the White House was nearly ready to unveil its proposal. Money, 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 money. Money. The work that, like, Saudi Arabia and Israel needed. The work that Saudi Arabia, the United States, and the United States have been doing together in terms of our agreements, I think, he says, is potentially very close to completion. Similar to his predecessor, Biden is seeking foreign policy success during an election year by bribing an Arab nation to develop official ties with Israel. During Trump's final year in office, he handed out weapons and other favors to the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. very constitutional, to normalize their ties with Israel without Tel Aviv ending its occupation of Palestine. While none of the countries were at war with Israel, the agreements were sold to the American public as peace deals. Remember that? Remember, and Trump was applauded. Oh, the Abraham Accords. No. That's just money. It's just money and weapons. If a deal were to happen, Biden is reportedly prepared to lavish the Saudi kings with several deals, including arms sales, nuclear technology, and a Japan-style defense pact. That'll be great, huh? Yeah, you think that'll be a treaty? No. You think that would be constitutional if it were a treaty? No. You think that if it were a treaty, the rhinos and the Dems in the Senate would approve it? Yeah. While the details of the potential deal have not been made public, Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan said the U.S.-Saudi agreements were very, very close and most of the work has already been done. But, John Belushi would say, but no, not quite, because, of course, the folks there say that they need Israel to handle Gaza first. Yeah, and that would mean the invasion of Rafah. Tel Aviv says it eventually will invade Rafah to, you know, get a handle on those people that it already hasn't slaughtered. Awesome. That's just cool, huh? All right. Now, again, go to antiwar.com. I think that covers... and there's one other one that I wanted to mention to you. The Gaza Pier. Let me see if this is all... Because there's so many stories. Oh, yeah. Israeli airstrikes on Rafah. And this is even prior to the so-called invasion. They've been doing the airstrikes now for about 2 months, as they already told people to flee to Rafah because that would be safe. Yeah, go to Rafah. It's cool. And then they started to bomb it, right? They kill at least 22, including, let me show you on the screen. It's in blue. I won't show you the whole thing, just the headline. A five-day-old baby. Okay. Yeah, and then U.S. is going to spend $320 million on the Gaza Pier, which is unnecessary if they would just open up the ground gates and stop shooting people at them to get food in there. What can you do? The best laid plans of mice and mice. Now, let's take a look at all of this spending from the United States government. And going back to 2008, they don't mention the 2008 trigger for this, but anybody who understands Austrian economics and the boom-bust cycle and inflation of the money supply knows what happens to the buying power of your currency when a politically connected central authority claims the power to tell you that you have to use that currency. And, of course, then the United States government hands out weapons agreements to Saudi Arabia in the 70s to create the petrodollar. Well, the petrodollar is dying, and the BRICS nations are rising. So let's find out. Now, why would anyone want to disconnect, as Gary Newman would say, from the United States or its worthless currency, from this warfare debt empire? Well, again, we turn to some good reporting from Rick Sanchez, and he says it beautifully. He's over at RT now, and this is great. Check it out, everybody.
So the Global South community, led by Brazil and India, with Russia and China not too far behind, are yearning for a more fair global currency. You know that, right? But Donald Trump has just come out recently and said that if he becomes president, he will punish those who even think about substituting the dollar for another currency. You know, ironically, the push toward de-dollarization came about because of the sanctions and other penalties that were put on Russia in 2022.
Point.
After the West unplugged Russia from the global financial system entirely and seized its assets, developing economies saw that and then they asked themselves, whoa, what if they come after us? What if they do that to us? Places like Brazil and India and Iran and others started asking themselves. And that is why in January of 2023, BRICS, the Global South Group, that includes Brazil and Russia and India and China and South Africa and now many more, announced that it wants to create its own currency to bypass the U.S. dollar amid Washington's dangerous sanctions craze. Former President Trump says, I will not let you do that. Here's his quote. I hate when countries go off the dollar. I would not allow countries to go off the dollar because when we lose that standard, that will be like losing the Revolutionary War. Revolutionary War? Anyway, that will be a hit to our country.
Okay, so I'm going to pause it there and open it up to you because I'll put this out there as my offering to this flip, ridiculous, fantastical statement from Donald Trump. Either Donald Trump doesn't know anything about economics, or perhaps it's both, he knows and he understands that he's got to lie. Because all we have to do is look back at the $2 trillion CARES Act. And as Angry Tiger and many of us were discussing in the chat on Angry Tiger's financial report Sunday night, $2 trillion just in 2020, and it's been added to with multiple trillion since then, and now the debt is every 100 days increasing by $1 trillion. Now, just to give you an idea, I looked up some information about the overall amount of money, nearly $200 billion that's been given to Ukraine just in 2 years. The military budget of Russia annually is about $75.8 billion. So over 2 years, the United States has given Ukraine more than the entire military budgets of Russia for those 2 years. That's how much money the United States government is going into debt, which has an effect on the need for more dollars to be printed to buy those long-term U.S. dollar-based debt instruments called treasury bonds. The Fed buys them, and U.S. agencies, bureaus, get some of their budgets and buy them as well. The top two buyers of U.S. debt are the Federal Reserve and actual branches of the U.S. government, which circle around. And then, of course, when the debt comes due, they have to issue more debt, more bonds, which the cycle just perpetuates. So with all that money going out there, Donald Trump is one of the people at fault for this. And as I mentioned, and Tiger and I were discussing, I was in chat and Tiger was answering a number of the folks who were in chat. I was like, yeah, in the CARES Act, they gave the Federal Reserve the power to buy the bonds of any corporation the Fed wants to buy, and they don't have to tell anybody. And now people are talking about how corrupt that system is. And they want somebody to audit the Fed. But the Fed won't allow that, and of course the U.S. politicians would never allow that, because their corporate friends are going to get the money from the Fed and spend it and keep themselves afloat. And as I mentioned, that also has a bearing on the investments, not only of the Federal Reserve, because they're investing in many corporations that are probably near bankrupt, and they're propping them up. It has also an effect on the fascist favoritism system that already occurs thanks to the federal government and the Federal Reserve, and internationally. Tiger mentioned that this system has actually been going on a lot longer than that in various ways. And I'll have to get the link from him to find out some of that information. But overtly, they put it into the CARES Act. And I reported on it that week for MRC TV. I was like, what the heck is this? And Eric Schreiner was like, Eric, did you see this? He goes, oh, my God, this is crazy. And he let me write a piece about it. I wrote a song about it. I'd like to play it for you now. So Donald Trump, what's he going to do? What is Donald Trump going to do? And already we're seeing that after the United States now for 2 years has been laying so-called sanctions on private Russian individuals, taking their yachts, taking their money, blocking certain people from Hungary just because they were going to do business with some Russian interests, blocking them from doing business in the United States, literally seizing people's money. And by the way, as an aside, I just want to mention that criticism that has been leveled against Barack Obama, he gave the Iranians the trillions of dollars, just piles of cash.
That was money that was owed to the Iranian government because the United States had been holding it for decades. They see the U.S. government stole that money from Iran, and they were holding it from the 70s on. It's just, you know, once you start to unravel this stuff, you just realize how incredibly filled with maggots this entire system is. It's so bad. And I hope I can warn people, or, you know, warn them off the idea that it only started with the military-industrial complex and the Kennedy assassination post-World War II or something like that. Because, again, it goes back to the formation of the Constitution and the usurpation of the Articles of Confederation and the machinations of Alexander Hamilton, who wanted a central bank so that he could give out money to his friends. They couldn't get the central bank under the Articles. They didn't have a mandated taxing authority. They were relying on the states handing them tax money. The states were printing up their own paper money to pay off their debts, which was inflationary. And Alexander Hamilton realized that the war bonds that a lot of the patriotic people had bought to support the revolution were going to get paid back with virtually worthless money. And that those farmers knew it. They were worth pennies on the dollar. So he had his friends, if they were going to get paid back at all, right? They probably weren't going to get paid back. So he had his friends in banking approach a lot of these penniless farmers to say, well, you know, you helped support the revolution. I'd like to buy that off you for, say, 10 cents off every dollar that it was. You'll be making a little something, because they knew Hamilton was going to try to switch out of the Articles of Confederation and get a taxing authority and a central bank that would then pay those bankers off 100% on all the war bonds that they bought. And he did. They did. He did. They made millions. So the corruption goes all the way back to them. Okay? It's Donald Trump is just marching in line with Alexander Hamilton. And again, we'll go back a little bit. He's talking about how he won't let it happen. And don't forget, yesterday he's like, these protests have to stop. Really, Donald? Really? Are you that close to the genocidal maniacs in Israel?
A hint to our country, so says former President Donald Trump. Okay, now, here. You know, I can't help but think when I hear that, yes, it would be a hit to a country, which sounds exactly like what Washington, our country, our politicians do when they freeze the assets of other countries, when they steal the gold reserves in other countries, when they sanction the companies of other countries, and when they threaten other countries from doing business with whatever country we don't like at the time. Joining us now to discuss this is Ted Rall. He's a syndicated columnist and an author and an award-winning cartoonist. Also, Angie Wong. She's a co-host of The Final Countdown on Radio Sputnik. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us. I guess we start there. You know, it's interesting, Ted. I'll start with you, that the former president will come out and say that this is what I'm going to do because it's not fair that they would be considering taking out de-dollarization. As I recall, he was responsible for as many sanctions on countries as any other president we've had recently, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. One of the interesting aspects of Donald Trump as a political personality is that he's very, very adept at identifying problems in a way that many other American politicians are not. The problem is his proposed solutions. And this is one classic example of that.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And by the way, they had a lot of other really good comments. You can watch Rick Sanchez's show separately if you go to the RT website. They have all the different shows labeled, and you can go down into the video segments and so on. That one I actually got because I was monitoring it live today on Rumble, and I paused it. And then what I do with my recording system is if I hear something really good, I'm like, oh, I got to catch that. That's really good. I can go back. That for a certain period of time, while their stream is going, if you pause it, you can still go back a little bit and record stuff. So that's what I did. I got it, and I was really happy that I did. And good for Rick Sanchez. He even mentions both Rick Sanchez and this woman. They both used to work more at popular networks. He's been on Fox. I think he was on CNN. And he's like, I'm so glad I'm out of that. My mindset has changed. I see things more clearly. Just like Russell Brand, you know, getting away from the big – Hollywood thinks. Now, he's with Russia today, but what he's saying is absolutely right. Now, Russia, to the Russians' government, is now finally going to start imposing its own sanctions against J.P. Morgan. So it's just going to get crazier. It's going to get crazier. And as we mentioned last night, Zelensky actually came out with a statement that a lot of people didn't think was really vetted, saying he's in the midst of a 10-year agreement with the United States, which I think would basically make Ukraine an extended vassal state of the United States. And it would be their place where the new wall, the new Iron Curtain would go up. Except the curtain will be, or dropped down, the curtain will be dropped by the United States government, and they'll make that the new area of conflict for a new Cold War with the Russians. Okay, so that covers some of our war stuff, and I want to now take the opportunity to give you a little bit of info that hopefully you might dig. But you know what? Let me do this. Let me just turn to the chat right now and get your thoughts, everybody, before I do anything else. Because, you know, I've been putting down a lot of stuff, and I want to get your feedback on everything. First, I'm going to go over to Rumble. And Freegan says, I wish I was into hockey or any sport. Lord knows I've tried. Yeah, you know, I having grown up, Freegan, in outside of Boston when they didn't have cable, baseball and basketball were not on national networks. They, you know, like if you're going to watch the Boston Bruins or Red Sox, basketball was on national network, but oftentimes they would have a lot of games done locally on WBZ Channel 4 for basketball. And so that was pretty neat. And for a while they had baseball on Channel 5, which is also out of Boston. But hockey was always on UHF. And UHF, we had a really hard time getting UHF. It was always the snowstorm, the ant parade, that sort of thing. So literally trying to see a hockey game with a little puck was virtually impossible. There's a lot more coming with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
You love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.